As Steve said, we're talking about Reservoir's core value these days, and I'm so excited to talk about them, actually, because they're actually really good. I love them. Like, this is who we are, what we're about, how we think it best informs and shapes our faith journey. And actually, I totally don't mind if you pull out your phones and go to Reservoir's website and look at it with me. You can go to the menu and it says, you know, who we are and our what we're about. You can click menu and about. Oh, actually, we have the screens too, so. I thought the screens weren't working, but it's okay. And you can click about, and if you scroll down, visions and values, and it has the core values you can follow through, or you can look at the screens too. So let me just read it for us, because I think it's really beautiful, the words that we have here. Core values. Jesus captures our hearts, transforms our lives, and makes all things possible. We want to move closer to Jesus in all aspects of our lives. As we do so, our community is animated by these five core values that guide our pursuit of vibrant, inclusive, healthy faith. Connection. We value life-giving connections and are committed to pursuing God's wholeness, love, and leading in every moment of our lives, transcending distinctions between sacred and secular. Everyone, we seek to welcome people in all their diversity without condition or exception to embrace a life connected to Jesus and others. Action, love for Jesus compels us to act, to seek justice, show compassion, work for reconciliation, and hope for transformation and joyful engagement with the world. Freedom, we encourage honest exploration of faith over conformity of belief or behavior, trusting that the Holy Spirit reveals truth to all who seek God. Humility, we are wholeheartedly committed to pursuing the truth of Jesus through multiple sources, including the Bible, reason, culture, and experience, and we take the posture of learners, recognizing that our understanding of God's truth continues to unfold. Y'all, this is good, because for a church to have such words, transcending distinction between sacred and secular, you mean even worldly things? Yes, it's all God's. Diversity without exception or condition. For real? Even, yes, you can become a member, just click away. To all, yes. Trusting the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to all who seek God? Yes, all who seek God. Not just here in this particular way. And recognizing that our understanding of God's truth continues to unfold? What? You mean we didn't have it figured out in 1517? Can you tell that I'm excited about unpacking these? And we'll be continuing to do this in the next 5 weeks together. And at the center and starting point is Jesus. Jesus captures our hearts. Jesus transforms our lives. Jesus makes all things possible. Steve kicked off the series last week with connection, and today I'm talking about action. And I thought about how I would talk about action. And I was like, wait. This is about action, not let's sit here and listen and talk about action. So I have a gift for all of you today that I was going to unveil right now, but Steve did it preemptively. So I'm going to preach a very short sermon, 15 minutes, praise God. And hopefully that it gives us just a little bit of time. I mean, it's just, you know, 10 and 15 minutes, a chance for us to say, let's take action in whatever way we might need or feel led today at the end of this service. So I'll point you to a few ways that you can do that to use your time to open up yourself later in the service. But before that, let me just share two Bible stories to enter us into that and what moves them to action. The reality is that the love of Jesus does not compel us all the same. So here are two ways, two different women reacting to the love of Jesus. Listen, Luke 8. As Jesus was on his way, the crowd almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been healed instantly. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." In Luke chapter 13, on the Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman who was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years, she was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus was healing on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord said to him, "You hypocrites! Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. Two stories, two women. The first one, in order for her to touch the edge of Jesus' cloak, she had to kneel out of this desperation, hurl over in humility, and get low to barely touch Jesus. And she came trembling and fell at Jesus' feet. The second woman was already bent over and could not straighten up at all. Jesus set her free. He liberated her. And she stands up. And while many captured this story with her being bent over, I think, as Renee said a few weeks ago, why do we remember them by their ailments rather than their legacy of healing? And I see her more like the strong, defiant, free woman, like that fearless girl statue. For both of these women, Jesus says, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Jesus says, "Go. You are set free." Not only does Jesus heal, but then he releases them. In the midst of it, the disciples around are asking questions, and they're confused, and the synagogue leaders are indignant and like, "What about Sabbath?" And I thought of ending the service early and moving to action, and a part of me was like, "But what about worship? What is worship?" Worship is a reaction to a God who loves us. Worship isn't just sermon or praise band or praise songs. The provocative message of Jesus was about liberation. Heaven on earth enacted right now. Not observing the Sabbath or doing religion better, but seeing people who are in the midst of us, around us, right now, right here, suffering right before our eyes. Last few weeks, we've been mentioning this work that Health Equity Team has been doing, and sometimes as a leader of this church, I ask myself, how do I make the connection sometimes to that kind of work? Is it too political to talk about healthcare? Am I focusing on this community organizing type of thing to empower to make change in real lives rather than teaching people how to pray better? And I realize I have questions like that because I've been taught to be a good synagogue leader. Sunday worship, sermon prep. That's important. But these stories in the Bible about Jesus has convicted my heart of what breaks Jesus' heart. Jesus saw her. Do you see her? In fact, he calls the bystanders out and say, "You untie even the ox and the donkey to give water. You don't even give the crippled people enough dignity of a dog. We ignore them and go on about our worship and our beautiful space, and we don't care to see the people who can't afford a doctor's visit. We don't care to see the kids crippled by the lack of access to good education right here in our neighborhoods. And we are so concerned with our lives and our church. What is the church for? It is to receive the love of God and not keep it for ourselves, but open up and release our healing and the power, power to go, power to be set free, the power of liberation that we've felt from Jesus. Jesus acts and the woman stands. We act that others may stand. What brings you to church today? What sort of desperation or need or posture brings you at the feet of Jesus today? Hear the words of Jesus. Your faith has saved you. Receive it. Believe it. Accept it, and then go. Go out into the world in peace. Actually, though, to just, you know, now get busy. Jesus is coming. Some of you actually need to stop doing so many things. And if you need to sit at the feet of Jesus to drive down deep the love of Jesus, do that. Kneel. Hurl over. Take the time to reach out to Jesus and say, "Heal me." Because everything we do, it derives from the power of that. So let's sit with him before we think of any action. And if you've heard him, he says, "Stand up, walk." So I'll wrap up now, and we'll move into the rest of the service with music and prayer and communion. And after the service has ended, let your worship continue. And here are a few ways I invite you to this time. I invite you to an action of some sort, but per our values of freedom and humility, ask yourself what you need and what you feel led to and what you're comfortable with. And as I said, Jesus compels us in different ways, and we celebrate another one of our values, diversity. So there are a few different things that you can be doing. In this room, I invite some of us to hurl over this booklet that you received. There are more in the back as well. These are just spiritual practices that we've put together from our sermon series in the past year. And so the sermon series just goes through various different types of things that you can do to bring you to a word, bring you to a spiritual practice, and they're just all in here. And so I invite you to take this time in this space for you to hurl over, sit down, and kind of look over this book in quiet. You can sit, you can kneel, you can even, you know, lay down. These carpets are actually pretty new. I invite you to this freedom of digging deeper into the love of Jesus. And the band will continue playing and create that space in this sanctuary. And then I invite some of you to move out. The dome area, the health equity team will be there doing a huddle about a November 4th action that they're doing, and so you can talk to them. I'll also be there talking about neighboring and justice, how we do justice and compassion work at our church, and some of the things that are going on in the dome as well. Come talk to us. And in the lobby and cafe area, you know, I invite you, if you feel comfortable, find someone, kind of connect with one person, and sit down for 10 minutes or stand for just 10 minutes to share what brings you to church. What has Jesus said to you? What convicts you? Jesus wasn't about religion or just social action either, but about relationships. And so in the midst of chaos, you know, Jesus calls out to the woman and says, "Who called me? Or who touched me?" And she wanted to know her. And in the presence of all the people, she told why she touched him. And Jesus saw her and called her forward. So last week, Steve invited us to connect with other people and tell our stories. So take a few moments, just tell your story, and let's listen to one another's story and call each other forward. And even more so, I invite you to move even more further out. I invite you to walk around the church and our campus, kind of a prayer walk, but not necessarily go out and convert people, but just quietly walk around our campus. Take a few moments to just walk and pray for our church, for our neighborhood. Look up, breathe, stare at a leaf. Pray for this place and pick up trash. Pray for the people. And there is Engaging Body and Spirit at the very last page of the booklet that you can kind of follow on how to do a prayer walk as well. Pray for Benjamin Banneker School. Pray for our congregation. Pray for our leaders. And that's what I invite you guys to do as we end the service. Your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Amen. Oh, and we have one thing that we just wanted to mention for the prayer team. If you're experiencing any neck pain, we'd love to pray for you. We have a wonderful prayer team in the back of the sanctuary. If you would love prayer, they'll be there for you the rest of the service.
Folks, we invite you to stand if you're able.